And you are tuned to WPKN in Bridgeport, listener-supported radio, reaching communities on Long Island, Litchfield County, around the state of Connecticut. Stay tuned for Mic Check, which is coming up in just a minute. Welcome to Mic Check, a program which presents global, national, and regional issues and their impact on our local communities. Each week, one of our rotating roster of hosts brings a different issue. And this week, my name is Richard Hill. We're going to be talking about plastic in Connecticut, its effect on our environment. Specifically, we're going to talk about plastic bags and efforts by local communities to ban the use of those bags and to try to mitigate their effect on our environment. And to do that, we have a special guest today in studio. Daphne Dixon is with us. She's executive director of Live Green Connecticut, which is a sustainable development network that connects community members to each other and to local initiatives. Daphne, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, great to have you. So we're going to sort of try to cover all the bases here and talk about the plastic bag ban campaigns that are happening in different towns. But before we get to that, why don't you just tell us a little bit about Live Green Connecticut and how you got involved in this kind of work?
Sure, thank you. Live Green Connecticut is a 501c3 charity. We've been around getting close to 10 years, and we've done close to 300 events to really bring all sectors of the communities together to educate people and everybody around what they can do to have a better, cleaner, healthier environment. So we've worked with municipalities, with businesses, hundreds of businesses, organizations, community members, houses of worship throughout the state.
And what about your own personal involvement? What drew you to this kind of work towards sustainability and the reduction of challenges to our environment?
You know, it's funny you should ask. I was actually thinking about that this morning. You know, it really goes back to when I was about 10 years old. And giving my age away here, there was a campaign, a woodsy owl. It was a Give a Hoot, Don't Pollute. Mm-hmm. And it was this campaign about litter. And it really struck me. You know, as a child, I started noticing there was starting to be a lot of litter and in trash in places and these bags, I think, were sort of starting to come about. And I actually tried to start a recycling club at my grammar school, and I wasn't able to because there just wasn't enough interest. So I guess this whole plastic bag thing and litter has been in my blood for decades now, and I've just really always wanted to do something to help find a solution.
Well, yeah, apparently you're doing quite a bit, and just maybe give us a little bit of an overview about some of the problems posed by plastics in general and plastic bags in particular in our state and in some of these smaller towns. Which town are you from?
I live in Fairfield. I'm originally from California.
Okay.
But I've lived in Fairfield for about 17 years, mm-hmm. You know. And I did notice when I first moved to Connecticut, it was, coming from California, it was different in a lot of ways. Water conservation efforts, I noticed, were not as strong here. And, of course, recycling and all of that is not the same here as it is in California. California, as we all know, is the first state to have a ban on plastic bags. So they're really leading the country on it. And I hope Connecticut is soon to follow suit.
That's fascinating. I did not know that California had banned plastic bags statewide. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. incredible. Did you mention California sort of a leader in recycling generally? Is it Can you give us any other things that they're doing that we should be doing or haven't started doing yet?
I don't know if it's because there's so much coastline there that there's more interest in it. I know that one of the things California has decided that they will not allow is offshore drilling. You know, in Santa Barbara, they have a history of a lot of oil spills. Mm-hmm. And now with the new administration and everything, Californians are not going to allow offshore drilling. There was only one meeting that was allowed for the whole state to say their words about that, and thousands of people showed up in Sacramento, which is where I was born. Huh. So the Californians are just not going to take it.
Well, that's a inspiration. And but the plastic bag issue is a kind of important, and just to quote a factoid here, just general information here about plastic bags use in our country. Well, first of all, plastic bag, a single-use plastic bag, the type that you get at the supermarket or at the small store when you go to the hardware store and they always put everything in a plastic bag, that bag will take 1,000 years to biodegrade. So when it hits the landfill, it's there for the duration. The United States goes through 100 billion plastic shopping bags annually, and an estimated 12 million barrels of oil is required to make that many plastic bags, and 4 out of every 5 grocery bags in the United States are made from plastic. So tell us a little bit about what's going on in our state.
Can I just back up for a second?
Absolutely.
Not all, the plastic that bothers me the most, it all bothers me, but it's the plastic that gets into the oceans. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the plastic that gets into the oceans, because as we all know, not only does it, kill, all sorts of creatures and everything, but those plastic bags, over time they shred and they decompose, and then those chemicals leach into our water. And so I read someplace the other day that 94% of all of our drinking water now has these remnants of plastic. So it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. So the plastic, I was on my way over here. I was on 95, and I actually saw a plastic bag floating through the wind, making its way over to the Sound, And it's that plastic that gets into the water, I think, that's devastating to all of us.
Yeah, and you mentioned drinking water, so it's apparently leaching through possibly landfills into our groundwater.
That too, yeah.
But tell us a little bit about some of the campaigns and why you think towns are now actually trying to work on this issue of coming up with banning the bag in their towns.
I just, hats off to Westport, for being such a champion back in 2009, I believe it was, for actually, getting it done there. They really are remarkable for doing that. About a few weeks ago, on February 7th, Live Green Connecticut hosted the Regional Convening on Sustainable Development, where we had global leaders, regional leaders, state and local people there all day long to review many categories and many subjects. In the afternoon, we had a panel that was hosted by Jamie Stevenson, who's first selectman of Darien, and Janine Bergetz presented the BYO Greenwich plastic bag initiative to the group there. And after we did our follow-up from the convening, we were overwhelmed with comments about Janine's presentation and what they're doing in Greenwich, and people were just really energized over what they're doing and the progress that they're making.
It's interesting that and now you actually had a meeting this past week or so, right?
We did.
In Fairfield.
Yes.
Which you organized, and hats off, kudos to you, because I understand it was very well attended and you had many speakers, one of whom actually came from Brantford, which is my new hometown.
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about the campaigns that are following in the wake of Westport and Greenwich.
Yeah, that was a great event. It was the Plastic bag solution. It was an information session. It was just really to gauge interest and to provide information, not trying to do anything more than that. And we did also have some information on Bill 6313, which is a statewide single use fee that would potentially affect the entire state. But at the event at the Fairfield Library this past Wednesday from 7 to 8:30, we had folks from Newtown, Brantford. We had information about Greenwich. We had, of course, and we had the Westport folks. There's also people in the audience from Darien who are doing this as well.
They're starting?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Starting a campaign. So Fairfield, you're just sort of testing the waters.
Oh, and I'm sorry.
Sure.
Also, Stanford is also,
oh, really?
I haven't talked to anybody there, but I did read that they have started doing this and that they're very enthusiastic and making a lot of progress towards doing. I'm not sure if it's a ban or a fee, but there's a lot of folks interested in doing something in Stanford.
Well, I want to mention that, yeah, we're talking about it in Brantford. Meg Kilgore, who's, I think, mm-hmm. on our land trust, we had a meeting this week, just an organizational meeting, just to see if people are interested in this, and we are. And I think there are other towns on the shoreline going north from Brantford, or east, I guess, up the coast, who are beginning to seed the waters, seed the ground for this kind of action. You mentioned, I don't know if it's SB or HB 6313, mm-hmm. which, as you said, would be a fee for if you go to a store and you use a single-use plastic bag, you would have to pay an extra amount of money for that. And
right.
That would be to discourage
yeah.
people from using those bags and encouraging them to bring their own bag.
Yeah, and a lot of states have done that. And actually, Ireland has they have a fee, and also Denmark.
The fee.
Uh huh.
Okay.
They have the fee, and
mm-hmm.
in Ireland, what they've done in Ireland, I believe, and in Denmark, is it's a higher price. It's like our equivalent of maybe let's say 15 cents, you know, and part of the money goes towards education and environmental cleanup.
Mm.
But in Denmark. The fee, they started it in 1994, so they've really been at it for a while. And now on average, a Dane uses in a year 4 plastic bags in an entire year.
Mm.
That's, you know, so the fee really worked there, and it also worked very well in Ireland.
You know, I think when you sort of just sort of break that habitual thing, you know, when I go to a
yeah,
store.
Yeah.
I never let them put anything in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
But man, it's a reflexive thing.
Yeah.
You buy a pack of gum
yeah.
and they're going to put it in a plastic
yeah.
bag. No, please don't put it in a plastic bag. But they're, it's habitual for the folks that work in the stores, and it's habitual for customers to have everything put in a plastic bag. So if you put in that one thing which interrupts the reflexive response,
yeah.
You're going to have to pay for that. You know, I think that what it does is sort of sets off a whole new circuitry in your brain, and you start saying, "Well, wait a second, do I really need that bag?" And then, as you say, in Denmark, that's actually really changed behavior and had a major effect.
And it's really a cultural shift. When I first moved here from California, you could still smoke in restaurants.
Right.
And I thought, my God, what is this? People smoking in restaurants. I was, because we hadn't done that in California in years. But here, back in 2000, you still could do that.
Yeah.
And, I think this plastic bag thing, it's partially cultural. I think once we turn the tide and a few more percentages of people start using reusable, it'll actually become, I think, people feel uncomfortable using plastic bags.
Yeah, I think that is a good way to describe it, a cultural shift and a way of re-educating folks and just getting them to think about it. Regarding the smoking issue, we're trying to, it's been, I think, a year and a half since the Park and Rec Department in Brantford put in a smoking ban. Not a ban. It's a policy. It's not an ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like our new policy is you can't smoke in the parks, you can't smoke on the beaches. And there's a lot of pushback. And So, you know, I met with the Park and Rec's director, Alex Pelosi, a couple of weeks ago, and we were like, well, what are we going to do to make this work better? We need more signage and blah, blah, blah. We both agreed, I think you do need more signage. You got to have to keep reminding people, but it is a transition period.
It is.
And little by little, when people begin to say, wait a second, folks, you know, I'm not supposed to be smelling cigarette smoke when I'm sitting on the beach. And then they start to talk about it. And then little by little, that sort of thing radiates out and behavior begins to change. But that is a cultural shift. And it's not something where you can just flip a switch and it happens.
And not to digress too much to the cigarettes, but it also kind of comes back down to something called product stewardship, which is the manufacturer of a product. Just like we're familiar now with electronics, you know, what degree of responsibility do they have in taking care of the full life cycle of their product? So
that's a great point.
We're actually doing a cleanup in Fairfield on Earth Day, April 22nd, there's a park that has a pond and it's very close to 95. And not only are we going to do that cleanup, but we're going to inventory everything that we find. Because it's very important to find out how many plastic bags are there. You know, and I was over in that area today, just kind of scouting around. And I brought it with me to share. I actually, you know, there's plastic bags in the trees.
Yeah.
And I found a plastic bag in the tree, and I went and I pulled it out. And, you know, the plastic bag that I found, I won't name names because they're not here in front of me, so that would be, you know, impolite. But, you know, the bag does not belong to a Fairfield company. It doesn't belong to a Fairfield company. It belongs to some company someplace else. So with product stewardship, you know, that company is really responsible for that bag. And, you know, so what part are companies that are distributing bags, you know, what part do they play in taking care of these things? And that's where the fee, I think, you know, if there was a fee and then some of that money would go towards cleanup, to me, that's makes some sense.
Well, I love the idea of product stewardship, and I've that's kind of been my sense of what's missing in our country now is accountability on the part of these huge companies, which just pump the stuff out. So you guys deal with it. You know, it's your problem. Consumer has to take care of it, or the municipalities, and you know, taxes go up, and everybody's trying to figure out what to do with this junk. Meanwhile, the corporations. It's not affecting their bottom line at all that they are putting this stuff out there. And yes, I think we should push back on that, and we should try to make that that message go back up the pipeline to the source of these things. Just want to remind folks that you're listening to Mic Check on WPKN, and our guest today, my name is Richard Hill. Our guest is Daphne Dixon, who is the executive director of Live Green Connecticut. Again, it's a sustainable development network, and it connects community members, a lot of different towns, municipalities, small and large, to local initiatives to promote sustainability and to defend our environment. So we have Westport on the books, Greenwich about to be a enforceable
ordinance. Yes, they passed the initiative July 13th, 2017. And now they have a period of time where they're doing a lot of great education, and they have, you know, they have the support of over 50 businesses and organizations, you know, and they're really doing a splendid job of bringing the community together and doing films and doing outreach and all kinds of really great events. And then it comes up to vote pretty quick, and then it potentially will become law.
I see. And mentioned that when I talked to some of the folks in Westport in preparation for our conversation, the people that promoted the initiative in Westport, which, as you said, really went into effect in 2009. And I was very surprised to hear, first of all, this was, you know, some towns are very divided politically between Republican and Democrat. And Westport is one of those towns where your party affiliation is not part of your label on the RTM. So everybody's, you know, gets elected to the RTM. They're not they may be registered as a Democrat or Republican, but they're not running as a Democrat or Republican. When I was talking to one of the folks involved, he said, well, I'm a registered Republican. But he was the leader of one of the leaders of this campaign. In our town, it's like we're all squared off, Democratic and Republican. Yeah. So when we tried to pass our fracking waste ban, you know, all the Republicans were against it. All the Democrats were for it. It was just like, how is this a party issue? This is our groundwater. This is our environment. This is our coastline. So it's interesting to me. But the other part that was interesting was when he said that a lot of the big businesses in town were gung-ho for the ban, for the plastic bag ban, because they would save money. So Stop and Shop was a big player, and they said, bring it on. You know, we don't want to have to pass out these bags. They're spending money on them. If you can encourage people to bring bags to the store, that's an expense that comes off the bottom line for the businesses. That was fascinating to me. And I'm wondering, in the work and research you've done so far, what you found out about business attitudes toward this issue. And you mentioned off air that you feel it's important to reach out to the businesses before swinging full swing into a campaign. What kind of conversations should we have and are you having?
Yeah, well, you're right. I do believe that it's important, you know, to talk with community, to business owners. Actually, when I was in California, I owned a small business for 10 years. I actually always used paper bags. I didn't like the plastic bags. But it is, you know, it is really important to talk with the companies. So I've just sort of started doing that the last few days and just reaching out. I've reached out to Stop and Shop and to Trader Joe's and to ShopRite. And, you know, they're all looking for solutions. So they were all very happy to talk with me and to try to, you know, get together and figure out, you know, what is best. Mm-hmm. We're also reaching out to our Chamber of Commerce and our Economic and Community Development Director to really just engage people and find out where they are. And in some cases, maybe provide some education. But really just come to them with curiosity to find out where they stand and what they might need to learn, what they might want to learn.
Yeah. So you're talking now about Stop and Shop in Fairfield. Is there a Trader Joe's in Fairfield?
There is.
Oh, really?
I didn't
know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Trader Joe's doesn't give out plastic bags anyway. So,
no.
But they sure give out a lot of paper bags, you know?
I was there this morning and it was so crowded. And for some, you know, maybe because I was going to be on this show today, but I noticed that, I had my reusable bags. Hardly anyone had their reusable bags. I didn't see almost nobody had them. When I was leaving, there was a woman who was checking out and I complimented her on her bags and somebody coming in had. But for the most part, I would say 99% of the people didn't have reusable bags today. Maybe Sunday they were just busy, but it was very low percentage today.
Yeah, I think you have to involve people in many ways to get them so that they start to think about it. And is it really a major inconvenience to bring a bag with me when I go shopping? When I go to a health food store, I have these little bulk bags, paper bags.
Yeah.
I think I've reused them about 50 times. They're like falling apart. It's embarrassing when I go to the counter with my bulk bags. But yeah, people just rip off that's something which, by the way, unfortunately, I do not believe is included in the plastic bag proposals or the bans that have been in effect so far, is that roll of I guess they're glass. They're sort of translucent transparent bags that they use for bulk in stores. That's not. I don't think that's included in this plastic bag.
It's not. Trader Joe's actually has new bags now that they're compostable. At least they're bags in the produce department.
Oh, they have. Okay,
I didn't even There's a lot of bags that are exempt. You know, people think, oh, every bag's going to be banned, but a lot of bags aren't for health reasons. Some pharmaceutical bags aren't banned.
Right,
the plastic
right.
that goes over newspapers, those that's not banned. So you really one has to really read the law to see what it is. It's not everything, and it's a certain size, a certain thickness. The thicker bags are actually not banned. You know, so. That's where it gets back down to what are we doing as people? Like, well, what are we doing with all these plastic bags, and how can we just try not to use any of them or reuse as much as we can.
And raising the whole question about packaging in general, right? And
yes.
I think it's your conference on February 7th, which was it at Fairfield University?
That we were? It was, it was actually at Grace Farms, but we do do have a follow-up event April 25th at Fairfield University where we will discuss this issue. So,
and you, I think you had one of your speakers at the February 7th event.
Scott Cassell.
To address the whole issue of packaging in general?
Is that? Yeah, it's called products. There's another name for it besides product stewardship, but it's basically having the manufacturers held responsible for their packaging. And we're familiar with it with electronics, you know, mm-hmm. with the electronics, but with the packaging, it's newer and it's more complicated for people to agree upon.
Yeah, and there's so much of that packaging material which it's not recyclable at all, even if you believe that every mm-hmm. little piece of plastic, 1 through 7, that you put right. into your blue bin is going to wind up, you know, actually not winding up in the ocean. There's plenty of packaging which doesn't even fit into those categories.
And, that's right.
And we have to figure out. So that raises the question of the big question about plastic usage in general. And this information that we have now, actually it's been sort of floating around for about a year, that China is going to mm-hmm. stop allowing or accepting plastic waste to come into their country where they have actually an infrastructure to recycle it. For whatever reason, they have decided they do not want that to happen anymore. I think it has to do with their own environmental structures and systems that they're beginning now. They have major environmental issues, and I more power to them. They're trying to figure that out. But now China, which was the major recycler of plastic and other and paper products on the planet, has said no more. So what's going to happen, you know? And one of the things that I've sort of found out by looking between the lines a little bit is that the plastic that was going to China, right now it's being stockpiled all over the world because people are, what the mm-hmm. hell are we going to do with this stuff? We can't send it to China anymore. And so now some of it is now going to other countries in Asia, such as Vietnam. Let me see if I can find those notes. And the problem with that is that we don't really have, oh, here it is, Vietnam, possibly Indonesia, and Malaysia are beginning to accept this used plastic. There is very little data on what they are doing with it.
Right.
And whereas in China there was some accountability, it was quite clear that they were actually putting it into their recycling infrastructure and it was coming out, you know, as reusable products. Now in these other countries there's no accountability. We don't know what's going on. It's very likely that it's very possible it's winding up in the oceans. So what is the solution here? Is it, the plastic bag ban is obviously a great first step, but the big issue, the overarching issue, is the plastic production and how to begin moving away from plastics. They all come from oil product. They're a product of fossil fuels, mm-hmm. which is something that we are trying to break the habit of. And so this is really a big, it's so far intractable issue. And I think that your conference addressing these issues from many angles and at many levels is really a really good process. And let's just remind folks as we come down the stretch here, you're listening to Mic Check, and my guest is Daphne Dixon, Executive Director of Live Green Connecticut. So what are your thoughts on the big plastic issue and how to cope with it?
Well, it's huge. And, you know, the one thing I know for sure is we can all control what we do in our lives every day. And, you know, we can influence our own lives and the people around us. So I would encourage people to come to Fairfield Library on April 18th for the next information session. We'll be in our next steps. We'll have more information about fees and bans and what people in the community are wanting to do. We'll have more information about how the companies want to participate. And then I encourage people to come to Fairfield University for the follow-up to the Regional Conference on Sustainable Development, Fairfield University, April 25th.
That's great. And let's just give out your website.
Sure.
If you would, go ahead.
Yes, it's www.livegreenct.org.
Very good. And if you want information on where to recycle plastic bags until your town bans them, you can go to plasticfilmrecycling.org. And there's a list there of about 200 businesses around the state of Connecticut where your single-use plastic bags can be recycled. We hope they are being actually turned into wood products and other things that can be reused.
You can take them to Stop and Shop, too.
Yeah, Stop and Shop is one of the businesses that does that, and many other stores in Connecticut. That's plasticfilmrecycling.org. And the other website to check is Live Green Connecticut. Daphne Dixon, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's
been
a pleasure.
Great. My pleasure, too. Stay tuned for the Ralph Nader Radio Hour coming right up. And check out our podcasts of this show and many others at WPKN.org. Upper left-hand corner, look for the podcast link. Click it once. It'll take you to SoundCloud, and then you can find all our playlists. Thanks for listening.
From the KPFK studios in Southern California,
it's the Ralph Nader Radio Hour.
Stand up, you've been sitting way too long.
Welcome to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. My name is Steve Scrovan, along with my co-host, David Feldman. What's up with you today, David?
Well, I was reading Ralph's column this week, and there's some good news in the Associated Press today, Ralph. It says columnist Michael Gerson and commentator Amy Holmes are teaming to start a conservative-oriented talk show on PBS. It's called In Principle. So we're going to get the right wing's view now for civil discourse on the PBS. That's good news, right?
Except that it's nothing new. You know, the colloquial name for PBS has been Petroleum Broadcast System years ago. And I don't think they need more right-wing talk shows on PBS. I mean, the airways are completely dominated by Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Levin and Savage. And now they want more on NPR. But that's for another show, a critique of NPR and PBS.
Well, that